Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read this for us and I'll share a quick devotion after reading the passage. This is again 1 Peter chapter 4. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Amen. Much of this letter that Peter wrote to the early Christians speaks of facing hardship and suffering. We read it in yesterday's chapter, and we also see it in today's. In the very first verse, Peter talks about how Christ suffered and how we can expect the same. Peter offers a similar idea later in the chapter, in verse 12, when he says not to be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. And he says instead, rejoice. And all of this talk about suffering makes a lot of sense when we once again remember the context of this passage, of this chapter, or this book, I should say. Peter is writing to Christians who had already experienced a lot of suffering. They had been persecuted for following Jesus, and among other things, they had been forced to flee their homes and scatter all across the region. They had already lost a lot. They were going through a lot. Knowing this, Peter was essentially urging them to remain steadfast, to know that suffering is part of the Christian life, and there is a certain blessing that can be experienced when we endure and remain faithful to Christ. This is an extremely important teaching for us all. Our suffering will almost certainly look very different from that of these early Christians, but this idea still holds true. Let's not be surprised when we face opposition or resistance for our faith, but rather, let's rejoice. Rejoice that we're sharing in Christ's suffering and that his glory can be revealed. So again, this is an important teaching, but I want to focus on another part of this chapter, and that's verses 7 through 11. In these verses, we get some instructions from Peter on how Christians ought to live. But what may be surprising to read is that Peter isn't simply urging the early Christians to endure and be faithful. His call here isn't just to bunker down, grit your teeth, and just wait things out until the end. No. He says be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And as each has received the gift, referring to the spiritual gifts, use it to serve one another. I don't know about you, but all of this feels pretty surprising given the context. Again, he's writing to Christians who have been suffering. They've been persecuted. They have lost so much. Typically, when we find ourselves in a really difficult situation, our tendency is to keep to ourselves, to get into this self-preserving, every man for himself kind of mode, where all you want to do and all you try to do is just to take care of yourself and make sure that you get through, that you survive whatever you're going through. But what do we see here? Peter is giving instructions on how to live, but all of these guidelines have to do with engaging with one another with love and grace. They're all calls for loving and serving one another. I think at the core of these instructions is verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. This verse is in line with the rest of the scriptures. Love. It's all about love. Love is at the center. Peter doesn't say this explicitly here, but we know that from the rest of the New Testament that this love isn't something we just kind of conjure up on our own. It's responding to the love we've received from Christ and then reflecting that love to others, right? So responding to this other-centered, sacrificial love we've already received from Christ and then showing that same kind of love to others. This love is patient and kind. It, as it says, covers a multitude of sins, or in other words, it doesn't hold on to offenses, but rather shows grace, is willing to forgive. It's only with this kind of love that we can use our gifts effectively to serve one another. Even spiritual gifts, though spiritual in nature, only actually have power when filled with and backed by love. We know that because that's what the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. There's a whole section on spiritual gifts, but then he also devotes this long section on love. And this is kind of an aside, but we're going to talk a lot more about spiritual gifts in experiencing God in February. And so if you haven't signed up yet, I strongly encourage you to do so. This is going to be a great chance to learn more about our gifts, learn more about gifts in general, and grow in loving one another through them. So quick plug, if you haven't signed up for Experiencing God, you should do so. But anyway, when the world would tell us to look out for yourself, when you're going through a hard time, the world tells you, just take care of yourself, step back from everything, do what you need to do to get right. And that's what the world says. But God, through Peter, it actually instructs us to look out for others. I don't think this means to not care for yourself, but he tells us to serve others and continue to put them first. This is a radical and profound teaching, and one that, if we're honest with ourselves, is really, really hard to live out. We would much rather look out for ourselves when we're going through difficulties, but Peter here, God through Peter, is telling us to serve others. So it's a really hard teaching, really hard thing to live out. But when we do this, I believe there are at least two things that happen. There are probably many more, but there are two things I want to point out. First, the community of God grows stronger. A reality of life is that a community is as strong as the level that people are committed to one another. Community is strong when each person is committed to the other members of that community. When each person is looking out for the good of the other rather than just looking out for him or herself, that community can not only weather storms, it can actually even thrive in the midst of it. This is even more true in a community that is exhibiting a Christ-like supernatural love to one another. So when we as a church love and serve one another selflessly, we can be strong in the midst of any type of adversity. So when we live this way, we are able to love one another, grow in strength as a community. Second, when we live in this other-centered, love-filled way, those outside the community will be blessed as well. Sociologist and historian Rodney Stark, he's not the only one who says this, but in his books, he's argued that one of the main reasons why Christianity grew in the first through fourth centuries, even as they faced persecution in the Roman Empire, was because of the way that Christians showed mercy, love, and care towards those who are suffering physically. Even when even in the midst of plagues and epidemics, even when those epidemics ravaged the Roman Empire, there are many historical accounts of Christians running to, turning to treat and help those who are sick, even when the rest of society rejected and pushed away those same people out of fear of getting sick themselves. We see from these accounts that due to the love and compassion of Christians, not only were many people saved physically, because actually many were treated and able to live, overcome these sicknesses, so many were saved physically, and also many were saved spiritually, receiving Christ into their lives. And then this kind of feeds into the first point I made, that as people came to know Jesus, as they joined Jesus' communities, the community of God actually grew in number and in strength. So we see that this is the kind of effect that living a life of love can have. Loving and serving one another in this way is extremely countercultural, but this is how we're called to live. So let's take some time today to examine our lives. Whether I'm in a hard time or a really good time, am I living for myself or to serve and to love others? Let's pray that we can grow into becoming people who love above all else, that we would go deeper into the love of Christ, and then from that we'd be able to exhibit this love to those in our community and those outside of it, so that all might receive God's blessing. Let me pray to wrap us up here. Father, I just want to pray for our church community, all those who are listening today. Help us to be a people of love. We might be going through various seasons of life, different ups and downs, challenges that make it easy for us to turn our attention to ourselves. But Father, help us to be a people who love above all else, love one another, and use our gifts to serve one another, to be loving and welcoming, you know, showing hospitality to one another without grumbling, serving one another in this way so that our community may grow stronger and be blessed, and also those outside our community, those who don't yet know you, might come to see your love and be blessed as well. So thank you for these reminders today, for these teachings today. Help us, God, to live in this way. Fill us with your love so that we may be able to love others well. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.